Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of the Romantically Inclined podcast. I'm your host, Kate. I read romance novels. That is my only qualifications for running this podcast. And I make memes. I don't know how I'm going to put that on my resume one day for this time of my life. I'm working on it. Anyways, to recap this month, the first episode of the month was episode 11. In which I interviewed author Eve Dangerfield, one of my favorite authors, and that episode is entitled Role Play, Plastic Surgery, and the Grovel, because I love that Eve put a heroine in her book who has had extensive plastic surgery. I admire that. It is not reconstructive surgery. She just wanted to change how she looked. Anyways, so I always talk to Eve about that because I think it's absolutely fabulous, and you don't see enough of that. And also, Eve appreciates a really good grovel, just as I do. Episode 12, however, things went a little bit off the rails. That is my Michaela episode. For those of you who don't know, you can follow Michaela at Love Michaela, M-I-K-A-Y-L-A, Eve, E-V-E. And yeah, she's literally insane. That's all I have to say. And our episodes are always the best. And this episode was episode 12, entitled Let's Fuck Some Pumpkins. And it is an entire episode about books where people fuck pumpkins and pumpkin-headed people and pumpkin spice lattes. So honestly, I think it's our best work yet. Yeah. And episode 13, which you, unless you're on my Patreon, you would not have listened to, was entitled My Favorite Non-Sex Scenes, because I went through some of my absolute favorite books and shared my non-sexual favorite scenes. And I have a lot of them. It turns out most of my favorite scenes are not sex scenes. I am here for like the heartbreak, the down on your hands and knees grovel, the betrayal, just like any scene that really evokes very strong emotion other than like, my pussy is wet, you know? Okay. Anyways. In this episode, the first episode of every month is a recap of the previous month's books. And I only read 12 books this month, and I think like six of them were novellas. So yeah, I really didn't do too hot, which if you're sitting there and you're like, I only read three books this month and now I feel like shit, don't. This is just unusual for me. Everybody has their own reading speeds and reading habits, and you should not compare yourself to other people. I read in a very particular way in which I barely retain the information in which I am reading. Which, on that note, can we just agree to start including character names in Goodreads blurbs? Because when I'm going back to refresh my memory and write down the names so that when I tell you things, I have the correct character names, I do not want to have to read 15 reviews to find somebody who mentioned the characters' names. And I already returned half these books to KU, so I'm not going to go check them back out and read it. So anyways, petition for that. I read some pretty good books this month, though. I will admit I was in a very big reading slump, but let's just get into it. This is going in descending order from books I most recently read to books I read at the beginning of the month, because that is how I wrote them down on my paper. So I'm currently reading six books, six different ones. So I guess prepare for those at the end of November, because I am like really fucking awful at reading right now. I don't know. The book I most recently read, though, was Tentacles and Triathlons by Ashley Bennett. And this is a tentacle-themed romance, if you did not catch that from the title. And Cyrus is like a 1,000-ish-year-old, maybe more, tentacled monster who has like kind of like low self. I mean, he's just depressed right now. He has low self-esteem. He's in somewhat of a depression. He is feeling kind of alone and like nobody's ever going to love him. And enter Reese, who is a park district, national park, I don't know. He works for the parks. He's not a park ranger though, I don't think. I don't know. Anyways, it's not really that important. He is training for a triathlon and he sucks at swimming. Enter Cyrus, who is a literal monster from the sea. And he's like, yo, I will help train you, even though you are terrified of monsters and despise our kind. And Reese, whose sister from the first book is now engaged to a wolf monster, decides he's going to try and move past this fear of monsters that he's had since he was a child and go towards just being really horny for them. And so over the course of the book, that is what happens. It's a fated mate situation, but Reese, obviously as a human, does not know that he is the mate. And yeah, the book progresses from there. Cyrus is actually an artist. And I know people have been really simping for artist heroes lately. So I thought I just want to put that in there that, you know, he is very talented artist. And I did really like it. It was definitely slow. I guess if you're used to monster romances that are like hot, hot, hot and heavy right from the beginning and kind of dark a little bit, that is not this. Like Ashley Bennett writes more of like a sweet monster romance. So you're going to get, you know, just a little bit lighter and slower, even though it was hot, but it just felt a little slower than a lot of the romances featuring monsters that I tend to read. Before that, I did read the new Ruby Dixon novella called When She's Pregnant. And I think this is hilarious because in Ruby's like dedication or like acknowledgments or whatever, she basically just said, I read a thread where people hated books where girls are pregnant and so or want to get pregnant or have babies. And she was like, so I'm going to write one in which the girl is literally trying to get pregnant. As opposed to like the Ice Planet Barbarians, the girls are mostly, pregnancy is a side effect of the parasite in their bodies. And because they get so horny and they have to fuck the horniness away. And when she's pregnant, these women are on a different planet in which they are a protected species, basically. They can't return to Earth, so they go here. All of Ruby's books take place in the same universe at different periods of time. And so Naomi is our heroine, and she wants a baby so bad. She is very lonely. She has some other human friends, but she's tired of living on her farm alone. She wants to have a baby, and she doesn't need a man to do that, except for actually she kind of does, because she takes these like hormone injections to help her get pregnant because it's not easy with alien sperm. And then the guy she has lined up to impregnate her backs out. And she needs it to be very, very fresh semen because their sperm dies very quickly once it is out of the alien body. So she shows up at the, whatever, military hut. It's like a building, but I don't know. Where this very shy, awkward virgin is hanging out. And he is kind of on his planet, his family are trash collectors, and it's way looked down on. Like, nobody respects them. He had to go join the military to even, you know, try and make a name for himself, but his last name just follows him everywhere and kind of shames him. And so, but she doesn't give a shit. That's the greatest part. So this is part of the Rizdiverse series, and I am fucking obsessed with it because all of the men featured in the Rizdiverse series are, like, I don't know, not offensive. They're not attractive in their world. They are, you know, maybe their families have been shamed. They come from poor families. They've done something that kind of got them kicked out of their planet. Usually not like bad stuff, but stuff that the other aliens are like, eh. Or they're genuinely considered like ugly for their kind. They're not appealing. And Ruby just creates these human women who are like, look, no alien is like actually hot to me necessarily. You all look kind of strange. So I'm not fucking from this planet. So I don't care if your people are refuse collectors. Naomi's like, that's actually pretty dope. On my planet, they're like, cool. We don't really care. And she's like, I still want to fuck you. And it's just really adorable. And he comes on way too strong. And I highlighted so much in this book, and I never fucking highlight. I consider it a waste of 4 seconds of my time when I could be scrolling. But I highlighted a lot because I just thought it was so freaking adorable. All the like dumb shit he was saying. And he's just like, you know, his women don't like him because he comes on way too strong. And then here's Naomi, who's basically walks in and pulls up her skirt and goes like, fuck me right here on your work desk. Immediately, please. So anyways, obviously, if you are into Ruby, you will love this one. She's not pregnant for any of the book, really, except maybe the epilogue. So, the epilogue, she's pregnant. The baby is not, like, featured. So the whole novella is her trying to get pregnant and not actually her being pregnant. If that matters to you, I don't know. Am I talking really fast? And then I read Happenstance by Tessa Bailey. This just dropped in my Kindle one day with no warning. And obviously Tessa Bailey is one of my all-time favorite authors. And so I was like, I'm just going to start reading this immediately. And I did. And this is a Why Choose romance. So we have Elise, who is the heroine. Tobias, who is a porn star, a former porn star with a huge dick. And he's very, and she, it's hilarious because Elise actually has watched his porn before. But at no point is it like she considers not dating him because of his past. At no point does she shame him for his past. At no point is he embarrassed about his past. It's just like, hey, I used to be a sex worker and yeah, I made a ton of money and I quit and I'm just living my life now. Then you have Gabe, who is a very insecure man. He also likes to steal. And he is, I don't want to give away too much, but he left a really bad relationship, which super damaged his self-esteem. And that is very evident. He's incredibly shy and not confident whatsoever in his skills or in his love for her. You know, he just thinks that she's way better than him. And there's no reason she should even be making eye contact with him. And honestly, I'm here for those vibes. That's like my favorite thing in the world. And then you have Banks, who is British. So I loved it. I think that if you go into this book, though, looking for a very serious book, which a lot of reverse harems, which we are now transitioning into calling Why Choose or polyamorous relationships or, you know, just saying like MMFMM or whatever. If you are used to books where, you know, it's they're just immediately into her, yes, this is the book for you. These guys are falling over themselves for her. It is incredibly unrealistic in the best way. I mean, how often are Why Choose books like actually realistic? This book, though, actually considers the logistics of a Why Choose relationship. Like, Elise from the beginning is kind of like, how the fuck am I supposed to schedule this? Like, I like my alone time. What, are we all going to live together? Do I have to go on dates with each one of you? When do we see all of each other? And I really loved that because someone was just asking me for recommendations with more realism in the Why Choose situation. That, like, how does it actually work? How do they sleep in the same bed? How does all this happen? But if you were looking for, like, realistic relationship speed, no. Tessa Bailey's just not for you. If that's the case, Tessa Bailey is hot and heavy, like right out of the gate. We love it. We're here for it. You know, they're about to fuck on a like fucking gondola situation. Actually, I'm not really sure what a gondola is. I said it. They're in like a, I think it's like one of those carts that goes up in the air and like transports you from one place to another, like a mountain, but it's like not a mountain. I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention to that part because they were like about to fuck and I was very distracted. But it's sweet and it's short and it's cute and it's funny. It's Tessa's the only author that I genuinely would say I enjoy her, like her comedy. Actually her and Eve Dangerfield, but most of the time when a book is marketed to me as a rom-com, I find nothing funny about it. It just, rom-com has now taken on this like meaning of it just being light, I guess, and quirky, but it's not ever actually funny to me. And then you have Tessa Bailey, who I will actually laugh at the things that her characters say. Most of the time because they're absolutely bonkers, but also sometimes because there's a very subtle humor there that I don't even think she means. Like, if you watch her TikToks and shit, she's just a hilarious person, and that just comes through, as opposed to, like, forcing humorous situations. Anyways, Tessa, do not file a restraining order against me. I swear to God I'm normal, and I do not know where you live. Okay, so if you want to hear about Jack, which is a pumpkin-headed man, Jack 2, which is pumpkin-headed man's son, those are both by Leila Fay, Boogeyman Booty Call, Riding the Headless Horseman, Seduced by the Pumpkin Spice Latte, any of those and a few others, you can listen to episode 12 of the Romantically Inclined podcast. That's the pumpkin fucking episode. I'm not going to recap those because Michaela and I literally spent like an hour and 15 minutes doing just that on that episode. And I could not redo that justice here because I'm tired and I don't have Michaela's wit and charm to keep me going. I did read, okay, this is not really one I'm necessarily recommending, but I'm here for honesty. So I read Daddy's Girl by Calista Jane. And the reason I read it is because Daddy's Girl was a freebie during that, whatever, like free romance day that happens a couple times a year. And it's a bunch of like fucking romance novels for free. And it was marketed as a novella. I believe that a novella is not, it needs to have substance to it. It needs to be like at least a certain, like, you cannot call 15 pages a novella. I just don't think you can. I don't know what the name for that is. Well, okay, I guess you can. Here's the deal. This was not a novella. This was a teaser. And it is because the author wrote a serial, which if you don't know, is like you release a couple chapters. I don't really know. I don't read them, but you release a couple chapters at a time. Some authors do it in their newsletters. Some use, I think that's what Kindle Vella is for. I'm not sure. But this was not like a complete story, which a lot of novellas can be 15 pages long, but they kind of have a beginning, middle, and end, or they are listed as a prequel. This was not, at least in the description from when I downloaded it. Once I opened it, it was like, hey, this is a first part of a serial. It's a 6-part serial. First book is free. Every book after costs $2.99 for what is essentially like 25 pages. Like the entire thing is only 110 pages. 6 books is 110 pages. So I read this and I was like, okay, like that was pretty good. I do want to know what happens because she does a really good job of like fucking ending it at like a cliffhanger. And it's an MFM book. And so at the end of the first free book, she had not fucked the second M. He was like really like resisting. And so I was like, fine, I'll fucking pay $2.99 to get book two. Book two, she still doesn't fuck the second M. Fine, I will pay $2.99 again. Book three, still doesn't fuck the second M. And I'm like, by this point, I'm like, okay, like that's fucked up. Like you're going to drag this out to the point where she's not going to fuck the second guy until like book six. And as much as I wanted to get there, I just did not think that these books were worth $2.99. I thought it was basically a scam. I'll pay $2.99 for all sorts of books, but I will not pay I guess I did technically, so she got me twice. But I will not pay $2.99 for what is essentially like 25 pages of book. I can't keep doing that. That is not sustainable. And I admire her for being able to do this, but it's just, that's not for me. I need like a whole book right away. I don't need to end up paying $10 for 110 pages of book. That's crazy. That's crazy. But if she gets people to do that, like more power to her. Like that, I mean, I respect the hustle. This is actually kind of disappointing because I'm going into another book I didn't fully like. And that is Little Souls of Fire by Cleo Evans. And I love Cleo Evans. Like, I do enjoy her books. They're short. They're hilarious. They're totally wacky and out of this world. If you just want, like, kinks shoved in your face and monsters and, like, crazy scenarios and you don't give one rat's ass about realism, like, you just want drama, drama, fucking drama, fucking drama, like, Cleo Evans, at least the series I read by her, is for you. Because it was good. I haven't read all of them. But I do think that people would enjoy them, but this book I DNF'd at like 18%, maybe sooner because I just couldn't get behind this. Okay. And again, I didn't read all the books. So maybe if I had read all the books, I would have appreciated the story more. But from what I know, we have the barista who is like a barista who is also a matchmaker. So he's very good at connecting humans and monsters together and like so they fit each other's kinks perfectly and they fall in love and they're happily ever after. Like that's his thing. He has a terrible ex in his life, Lucifer. And Lucifer is basically the devil. And he, throughout the books I read at least, Lucifer was basically trying to murder people. Like, he was not a good guy at all. He wasn't even a misunderstood villain. Barista's like this sweet dude, and Lucifer's trying to literally murder his friends as like an attempt to get back at him. And in this book, which is Barista's book, and I was waiting for this because I really like him. In this book, he has it. I forget her name and I can't fucking find it. I forgot to look this up. But the heroine is like barista's little worker at the cafe. And he loves her a lot. But he is not expressing his feelings for her to protect her basically from Lucifer. Like anybody he gets close to tends to be threatened by Lucifer. So he's like, I'm not going to, like, I'm just going to, you know, keep this professional. She has the hots for him. In this book, though, she meets Lucifer and there's like a mate bond between them. And there is the ability to break a mate bond. Does she ask him to break this mate bond in order to, you know, not be with the man who has made the man she loves life a living fucking hell and literally try to kill people? No. She's like, hey, barista, like, if you love me, you'll give him a chance too. You'll give your ex-boyfriend who tried to ruin your entire life a chance. And I tried to give this book a chance and I couldn't. And that says I tried to push through. I was hating it and I kept trying to push. And every time I just felt it was absolutely so disrespectful of a heroine to force somebody to be with their abuser. I couldn't look past it. I couldn't. I don't care if he gets redeemed, because he was basically in the book. He's kind of like, well, I'll do whatever it takes to be with this human, even though I hate humans. Like, she's hot and we have a mate bond. And I don't care. Like, and that's funny because I read dark romance in which, like, you know, relationships are not sunshine and daisies and there's lots of kidnapping and shit. But in a book like this, like, I'm sorry. I just felt the barista deserved better and I couldn't push through this book. But the series is great. So I don't know. And you can read them as standalones. Like, I really, except for maybe this book, I don't know. I had no problem, like, hopping and skipping into the books I liked. I think there's an FMF in this as well. So I just really admire that she just really goes for it with her books and writes clearly what she wants to read. And I totally respect that. All right. So the first book of the month that I read was Finding Home by Sutton Bishop. And I've read a few of Sutton Bishop's books and they're very different from what I usually read. If you really like the old school romance vibes, not the like lack of consent part, but just like the way the writing is done. Oh my God. Why does anybody listen to me talk about books? Because I don't know what I'm fucking saying. Anyways, I don't know. It's just a vibe. It's a vibe. It's a vibe, guys. It reminds me of reading like older school, like Nora Roberts books where there's a lot of emotion, a lot of expressing that emotion, kind of like a little bit more flowery writing. This heroine, Emery, is a helicopter pilot, which I love seeing unique jobs. And so she's like a first responder like she does like, you know, rescues and stuff and transporting injured people out of like this remote area to hospitals. And I really do like that. And Arlo is like a sports agent. And I like him as well. Like, I liked the characters in this. I felt it was a little bit predictable, which is hilarious to say because romance novels are predictable. But, like, I knew from, like, their third meeting what the miscommunication third act situation was going to be. Like, there was no, oh, like, what's going to happen? It was like, okay, like, this was said, and now I know that this is going to be what the issue is later. And, like, that was fine with me. I'm just saying, like, I could see it coming a mile away. But again, the writing is really relaxing. and I really love the first book in this series a lot. I didn't look up the name before this podcast because I didn't know what I was going to say. But I really liked it because it's a secret pregnancy. And I like it because I normally hate secret pregnancy, but I felt that it was done very, very well in this first book. And it was understandable why the pregnancy was kept a secret. And it's a very wealthy athlete. So Arlo from this book, it's his client who has spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to track down his high school sweetheart who vanished off the face of the earth. After he went away to play professionally, he like returns home one day and she's fucking gone. And he has no idea what happened to her, where she went. She's totally hidden. It takes like 10 years for him to find her. And that's the premise of that book, which is, it's Hearts Don't Lie by Sutton Bishop, the Pinion Ridge series. So I really, really like that book. This book, also good, but definitely, I think I'm just not super into any character who is like sitting on a past betrayal so strongly. So like the Emery has had a very bad past breakup that was absolutely humiliating. And I understand why she is the way she is, a little bit closed off and all that. But I'm just not, even with men, the heroes, I'm not super into that. I just feel like maybe it gets a little bit, there's a little bit too much baggage coming along into the new relationship. But I did think it was done really well in this book. So yeah. Okay. Well, that's my wrap up. I have no idea how long this episode has been. Oh, 25 minutes. You're welcome. Right on time. I'm going to close this with a little ditty. I talked about this in my stories on Instagram, but just in case anybody missed it, this past week, I was getting a lot of likes on my Facebook page, and I thought it was very weird. I checked my notifications. It was like 20 notifications. I thought, that's weird. I haven't posted in 2 weeks. I look, and my Instagram switched from being connected to my Romantically Inclined Facebook page to my Kate LeBeau Facebook page. And it had posted my memes, and there were some weird ones, and people were liking it. So I quickly deleted that, not because, I don't know, it just makes, it makes me feel weird to see those posted immediately following just like a set of pictures of my son. I mean, anyone in my life is welcome to follow my blog, but I just think that like my cute kid pictures and my smut shit should stay on separate pages. And I was like, okay, that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. But whatever, you know, I'll move past it. Like, no, a lot of people liked it. Nobody sent me a DM condemning me to hell. So that's a win. A win is a win. I only talk in TikTok sounds now. And I thought that was it. And then later that day, I'm scrolling through my Facebook again. Oh, no, I think this was the next day. Or was it later that night? Whatever. I'm a terrible storyteller. I'm scrolling and I go, whoa, whoa, why is this story showing up on my, like, story scrolls? It was the one where I'm talking about The Governess and the Orc by Finley Fenn. And it was a picture of me making a face and saying, the heroine in this book is drinking cups of seed, but she's getting paid for it, and I admire that about her, or something like that. So that was in my stories, seen by 57 people, including my 70-year-old next-door neighbor. So a lot of people had really funny jokes about how, like, Halloween was super spooky for me, because that was terrifying. But it was funny, because then I posted a story about how she saw, like, I was like, posted a story about how she saw it, and she saw that story and like sent me something that was like, I saw it before you deleted it, haha. I just thought that was like good for you, Patty. If you need any recommendations, I'm happy to give them. Like, you go, girl. What? Okay, I'm not good at motivation. But anyways, that's just a fun little tidbit story in case you missed that in my Instagram story, since they only stick around for 24 hours. But I am reading The Governess and the Orc right now by Finley Fenn and absolutely loving it. It is totally bonkers and a lot of fun, and probably her best one yet, which is saying a lot. I downloaded Faith and the Dead End Devils by Catherine Moon, which is another book in her Sweetverse series, which is my all-time favorite Omegaverse series. I cannot get enough of it. I have read Baby and the Late Night Howlers and Lola and the Millionaires like 17 times at this point. I am obsessed. I am also reading Velvet Cruelty by Eve Dangerfield, but I know that that ends on a cliffhanger, so I'm kind of edging myself until she releases sends me the arc of the next book. I also have Resisting Maxu, which I'm currently reading by Victoria Aveline, which is in her Clicanian series. Choosing Theo, you might recognize the title, is one of my all-time favorite alien romances. And that is the first book of that series. I also have Secretly Yours by Tessa Bailey on my Kindle, and weirdly have not opened that yet. And I have the second Potato Shifter book. I'm 34% in. It is incredibly long. I've put like 7 hours into this book. I'm 34% through. That's insane to me. And I have Hayseed by Vera Valentine on here as well, which I believe is a scarecrow fucking romance. So I'm thinking I might save that for my, like, fall fuck episode with Michaela, where we are going to read turkey fucking romances. And I have, somebody recommended a pilgrim one, which, like, I don't know. So anyways, thank you for tuning in to this madness. I appreciate you. I appreciate your relying on me to provide you with wonderful reads. And yeah, read whatever the fuck you want. And don't give a shit if your 70-year-old neighbor finds out that you're reading fucking fluid kink books. All right? Don't be ashamed. She's cool with it. She's cool with it.